This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. economy creates more than 250,000 new jobs in April. And as we hear from USA Radio's John Clemens, many economists say this could continue for a while.
Economists forecast that strong gains could be the longest in history by later this summer. We get the latest report from Cody Parkinson of the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Total non-farm payroll employment increased by 263,000 in April, and the unemployment rate declined to 3.6%. The lowest rate since December 1969.
I'm John Clemens.
The president tweeting this morning, jobs, 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 in all caps. Protests are heating up again outside the Venezuelan embassy in Washington as backers of Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido and left-wing activists supporting President Nicolas Maduro are clashing again for the third straight day. This is USA Radio News.
This is sponsored by Bank of America. According to the American Cleaning Institute, 76% of Americans participate in spring cleaning every year. Bank of America Preferred Rewards Executive John Sellers outlines tips and tools that can help you clean up your finances to maximize financial rewards.
Spring cleaning is all about hitting the refresh button, and that includes refreshing your spending and finances to maximize rewards. Try to stick with your favorite brands to accumulate maximum benefits through their rewards programs. Additionally, consider consolidating your savings and investment accounts down to one financial institution. This will simplify your banking, and the balance of your consolidated accounts may also qualify you for a program like Bank of America Preferred Rewards. Our Preferred Rewards members enjoy great benefits, including credit card rewards bonuses of up to 75%, home and auto loan discounts, no fees on select banking services, and more. And as a member's qualifying balances grow with Bank of America, so does their Preferred Rewards benefits.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/preferred rewards.
There's a report that an undercover FBI investigator met with Trump campaign advisor George Papadopoulos in London in 2016. The New York Times says the investigator posed as a research assistant and wanted to know whether the Trump presidential campaign was working with Russia. President Trump has repeatedly accused the FBI of spying on his campaign. Meanwhile, Democrats remain up in arms that Attorney General William Barr would skip the House hearing yesterday on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation because he did not want to take questions from staff lawyers, only lawmakers. Vice President Mike Pence says this morning,
members of the Judiciary Committee, elected members of Congress, ought to be able to do their job and ask the questions, and we fully support the Attorney General's decision not to appear.
Record flooding continues in Davenport, Iowa. The Mississippi at its highest level since 1993, expected to hit 22.7 feet today. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
An execution in Georgia overnight. The Georgia man convicted of killing his ex-girlfriend and another woman put to death as Scotty Morrow was executed for the two murders and before he died expressed regret for the 1994 killings, apologizing to the families of the two women. He also shot another woman in that attack, although she survived. He ended up being killed overnight by lethal injection. The editorial page editor of the New York Times is recusing himself from all coverage of the 2020 presidential election. That after his brother entered the race. James Bennett's the brother of Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, who is yet another Democrat who announced candidacy yesterday. Senator Bennett, the 21st Democrat candidate in the race. His brother James Bennett at the Times says he will let his two deputies make all op-ed decisions on 2020 coverage for as long as his brother remains in the race. And the actor behind the original Chewbacca in Star Wars has passed away. Peter Mayhew was a hospital orderly when he tried out for that role of the Wookiee. His 7-foot-3-inch frame helped him land that job pretty quickly. He returned to his job as a hospital orderly until the release of Return of the Jedi when he was able to make a living as a fan favorite on the convention circuit. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple two-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going.
Hey, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Patrick Creighton joins us now. He is the director of Hesburgh. Hesburgh is a documentary that you are going to be blown away by. I was just so impressed. There's so much to know about the former president of the University of Notre Dame. And when you are exposed to this documentary, I'll tell you, I guess you come away with the same question or at least call that the documentary presents. And it is that, boy, for a time such as this, could we not use a Father Theodore Hesburgh in our culture today? Patrick, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for those kind words. I really appreciate it.
Well, they're sincere. I got to tell you, I was blown away. I mean, you know, being Catholic and all, I mean, I knew of the president, but at such a peripheral level. And I just am so grateful for your documentary because it really gives us a deeper look at this significant individual whose call upon his life that he realized at the age of six and saying, you know, I want to be a priest. That's my heart. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's we're excited. The movie opens up nationwide today.
Mm-hmm.
We're in about 35 different cities around the country, lots of AMC theaters, and we're really kind of all over the place today, so it's a big day for us.
Well,
But I was just going to say that that it's really, I think the film, and you know, you can correct me if you had a different take on it. It's really, I think, a film about leadership.
Yes,
mm-hmm. It's a sort of a study in what great leadership should look like.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Father Ted was a Catholic priest. He never set out to become this world-renowned figure and widely regarded expert and sort of the conscience of the country for a long time when it came to a wide array of topics like civil rights and student protests, the Vietnam War, immigration, church policy, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a film that I really think is for everyone. I know it's about a Catholic priest. I don't really think of it though in terms of it being it's certainly not a religious film. I think it's really kind of an American story. That's certainly my take on it.
Well, it transcends, you know, all these elements. I think that you demonstrate in the movie that Father Ted was a bridge builder, and he was bringing these disparate ideas and people and personalities. He was one to bring people together, and you're exactly right. I think it's a great study of leadership. Leadership that flows to the need, that doesn't necessarily look for acknowledgement, and maybe that's why we don't know a lot about Father Hesburgh, unless you went to Notre Dame or you had a direct connection with him, if you were Dear Abby or something like that, and you appreciated the remarkable personality that he was. And the things that he did, I mean, that are so lasting. The impact on generations that he had is just so special. But it wasn't
It's interesting to note. Yeah. It's interesting to note that he joined the Civil Rights Commission in 1957. He was asked by President Eisenhower to be one of the first six members of the Civil Rights Commission. You know, at the time, Martin Luther King was still in his 20s. Mm-hmm. The civil rights movement really was not in full force yet. Mm-hmm. Father Ted and five other people were asked to kind of research and then write recommendations for how to address the civil rights problem in the country. Coretta Scott King said years later that Father Ted Hesburgh was really one of the giants of the civil rights movement. And I think that Father Ted is fine with the fact that people don't really know his name or recognize his name. He didn't do it so that he could become well known or famous. He did the work that he did because he was a priest, and when he was called on to help people, he would do his best to help them. He's a sort of a classic sort of the person behind the scenes working as hard as he could to try to make the world a better place. I know that sounds really I don't know how that sounds, but
it's genuine.
You know,
he's
an incredibly inspiring figure, mm-hmm. who really kind of lived the very simple life of treat people the way you want them to treat, you know, the way you want to be treated, and try to help out whenever you're called on to do so. Mm-hmm. And in living this sort of simple life and the simple rules that he lived by, he just sort of became this extraordinary figure. At one point, they asked him if he would like to run NASA. Like, well, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not sure that's a great fit. But he just was a leader through and through, and really figured out a way to bring out the best in people and to help them get along with each other, even if they didn't agree on issues.
Well, you know, interesting that you talk about him being asked to run NASA. He didn't consider himself as a scientist. In your documentary, you point out he's more of a philosopher. But it was his leadership, his skill set that brought value to the scientific community.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's, the thing that's amazing about this film is that it's very emotional. People. You know, we've had a lot of screenings around the country leading up to our national release today.
Yeah.
People bring their friends. They bring their family. People even bring, like, a sibling who they're not necessarily getting along with that well, or mm-hmm. a neighbor. And this movie it's a powerful reminder that we are all basically cut from the same cloth, right, as human beings. We have a lot more in common than the differences that seem to divide us, and that we should really figure out what is our common ground in a community or in a country or even on this planet. What is our common ground? And let's use that as a starting point to address the problems that we're all wrestling with. He just was a leader extraordinaire. And I think that in this American moment that we find ourselves in, We need more role models, mm-hmm. Of what great leadership could and should look like, and that's why this movie, I think it's the timeliest film that we have ever made.
No, it's a total blessing, and as you say, Father Ted's gift was being a discerner of that common ground, and of course he exemplifies that with the fact that he realized there was a common thread in a disparate group of people as they were working on, you know, these civil rights issues. I mean, you had Republicans, you had Democrats, you had activists involved, and they were not talking, you know, much like the political debate today. But one thing he found that they had in common was they fish. They loved to fish. So he got them out on the water fishing. And what that did to bring them together, right, to your point.
Yeah, quite literally, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, mm-hmm. which was a landmark piece of legislation that President Johnson signed into law. You know, a couple of years earlier, Father Ted and the five other members of the commission were really stuck. They had to write up their recommendations. It was kind of the blueprint of what the Civil Right. Rights Act would become. And they couldn't get along. There were Northerners on the commission, Southerners, there were Democrats, Republicans. Father Ted was an independent.
Hey, Patrick, excuse me, I got to hit the pause button because we got to go to a quick break. We're going to pick up the story from there. More
Most
from Patrick
of you know
Krieger.
That heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally at Heart and Body Extract? We've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. That's 800-596-2154.
Another Spanish love song. You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Everybody's working for the weekend. Everybody wants a new
man. I guess you could do the Macarena to this, but rather quickly. Why not? 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you like us. I am Bill Martinez, and our conversation with Patrick Creedon, the director of Hesburgh, continues. Patrick, before the break, we had to pause, and we left everybody on the edge of their seat to talk about going fishing.
Yeah, he basically, the Civil Rights Commission was running out of time. It was 1959. They had to hand in their report to President Eisenhower, and they were at a standstill. So Father Ted, he got a plane, and I'm serious. He was like Indiana Jones. Like, yes. All right, we need a plane. All right, Father Ted will get us a plane. He got us a plane. He got the commissioners a plane. They flew to Wisconsin. They went fishing for a long weekend, and they'd have steaks and fish and bourbon at the end of the night. And this six-person commission that was really fighting quite a bit amongst themselves got to know each other. And, you know, when you're sitting in a boat for 3 hours with someone you disagree with, you have very little choice but to figure out what your common ground is. Mm-hmm. By the end of that long weekend, the six commissioners wrote out 12 recommendations of what they thought would be the next best steps to improve civil rights in our country. And within a couple of years, that blueprint really became the Civil Rights Act of 1964. That is just one of dozens of examples of situations that Father Ted found himself in. And because he was a very results-oriented person, and he loved getting to know people and bringing people together, he was called on for a wide array of problems to help have a voice in figuring out how to solve them. He really was, it's funny, I the only person I can really think of in American history who reminds me of him is Alexander Hamilton. Mm, I mean, yeah. They were very different kinds of personalities, right. No question. One was a man who had, I think, 9 children and at least 1 girlfriend that I'm aware of. That, for those of you who have seen Hamilton, it's an amazing story. Father Ted was a Catholic priest. They were very different kinds of people. However, they were similar in the following. They were both fiercely independent, number one. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them were either elected to public office. And yet, they ended up being involved in some of the most pressing issues across a wide array of topics, of their day.
Exactly.
Father Ted is really a study in kindness, and he's a study in outstanding leadership. Mm-hmm. And I think both of those qualities are really lacking when you look around the American landscape right now. I think for anyone who's planning to vote in 2020 and is trying to figure out what a different style of leadership, you know, should look like, this is a great place to start.
Exactly.
The movie opens up today, as we mentioned, nationwide, in about 35 different cities, and then we'll be expanding beyond that.
Well, this is outstanding, and I would say that it is a ticket that you will be grateful that you had, and a movie and the time that you set aside to be able to enjoy and get some insight, as Patrick is sharing with us, on leadership and just humanity and love for a common man. I think for people that consider and think about what a priest should be like, Father Ted embodies that. I mean, he was a true shepherd of people, and it was as he said personally, he said that he realized when he went to the priesthood that he could not be dedicated to one individual, a wife. I mean, he took the vow of chastity as priests do, and that he wasn't going to be married to any one person as much as being married to a flock of people. And his range and depth of influence transcended the church. I mean, you talk about being a man not for a season, but for all seasons. I mean, when you know, and I'm sure as you were unveiling this, you know, at every turn you're thinking, what am I dealing with? I mean, is he like the Forrest Gump of the faith component or what? I mean, because every dramatic, crossroads of political life, Father Ted seemed to be right there in the middle of it. He was the bridge builder. He was the one that brought disparate ideas together and made harmony out of, what once was a lot of conflict. I mean, to the point, you talk about this commission, even President Eisenhower, whose idea was to do this. But I think that, he could see that it was needed, but I don't think that he really believed that they would really come up with anything, did he?
I don't think he did either. Yeah, I agree. I think oftentimes presidential commissions are, it's kind of like a political punt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of like, well, we don't know what to do about this problem. We'll set up a commission, and in a couple of years, people hopefully will have forgotten about the problem, and we'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
Father Ted was really not one of those people. He was like, maybe it's because he was the president of Notre Dame, and he enjoyed the game of football quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to get the ball in the end zone.
Right.
And he wanted to get stuff done. The part in the story that really makes the hair on the back of my neck really stand up is when you hear those secret audio recordings from inside the Oval Office during President Nixon's
presidency. Right.
And Nixon and Hesburgh were actually pretty good friends. They both loved college football. Nixon was a USC fan. Hesburgh, obviously a Notre Dame man. They loved college football. They became very close friends. They wrote letters back and forth long before Nixon became president of the United States. However, they were at odds when it came to civil rights. Father Ted felt that the civil rights endeavor, the civil rights battle, had to be pushed forward as quickly and as forcefully as possible.
Mm-hmm.
President Nixon was nervous that by doing so, he would lose a lot of votes, especially in the South.
Right.
So they were at odds, and you end up hearing these audio tapes that were recorded late at night in the White House, where President Nixon says, listen, either Hesburgh gets in line with what we want him to do, or we'll just get rid of the damn agency.
Right.
And you hear that, and you realize that here is this Catholic priest. He was sort of soft-spoken. He was not a forceful individual. He wasn't he's kind of unassuming, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment...
But he didn't waste a lot of words either, Patrick,
No, he didn't mince a lot of words.
Yeah.
No, he went right to the point.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, you realize that that of all the people in America at that time, President Nixon was probably most concerned about Father Hesburgh and what he would say and what he would do when it came to civil rights. As soon as President Nixon was reelected in 1972, the first person they fired was Ted Hesburgh.
Mm.
They said, Father Ted, the president would like you to pack your bags and head back to South Bend. Which he did.
Right.
But that didn't stop Ted.
Right.
Ted kept fighting. He was, as history will show, it wasn't too long after 1972 that President Nixon resigned. And when Gerald Ford was putting his administration together, one of the first people he called was Father Ted.
Right.
And had him help put together the clemency board.
Mm-hmm.
To forgive draft dodgers and protesters during the Vietnam War. I mean, his story just goes and goes and goes. And you come away with this very inspiring, very emotional story about an American who believed in his own faith, but he also just believed in America.
Exactly.
Believed in democracy and wanted to play a part in that.
Well, and I appreciated that Barack Obama acknowledged Father Ted. He said, because of all you did, I would not have become president of the United States.
Yeah, it's funny because the President Obama visit.
We got about 15 seconds left here. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it was a tough moment for Notre Dame, but I think at the end of the day, Father Ted was really happy to have the first black president come visit. And
well, it opens nationwide today. Yeah. Hesburgh and the director of Hesburgh, Patrick Creighton, has been our guest. Thank you, Patrick.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen Lennon with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. economy creates more than 250,000 new jobs in April. And as we hear from USA Radio's John Clemens, many economists say this could continue for a while.
Economists forecast that strong gains could be the longest in history by later this summer. We get the latest report from Cody Parkinson of the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Total non-farm payroll employment increased by 263,000 in April, and the unemployment rate declined to 3.6%. The lowest rate since December 1969.
I'm John Clemens.
The president tweeting this morning, jobs, 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 in all caps. Protests are heating up again outside the Venezuelan embassy in Washington as backers of Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido and left-wing activists supporting President Nicolas Maduro are clashing again for the third straight day. This is USA Radio News.
Americans may be leaving out a critical part of their wellness routines, their brains. Holistic psychiatrist and neurologist Dr. Hyla Tass explains.
A recent Harris poll showed that Americans may not be doing all they can do to take care of their brains, despite knowing that there are things they can do to help.
For starters, she says, your lifestyle is extremely important.
We need to get sufficient sleep, 7 to 8 hours. We need a good diet, such as the Mediterranean-style diet with fish, whole grains, leafy green vegetables. We need to exercise, which improves brain blood flow. It also improves mood and reduces stress.
Cass says there are also certain supplements that have been proven to help.
Neuriva is a new brain health dietary supplement that's made up of two clinically proven ingredients that are natural and GMO-free. We also have the Neuriva Brain Gym app that helps to retrain your brain in so many ways, and you can actually track your improvement as you go.
For more info, go to Neuriva, Neuriva.com.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you? Bill Martinez, live.
So breaking the dark prison.
It's Way You Like Us, fresh and independent, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Our gratitude to Patrick Creighton and his team for the documentary. He's the director of Hesburgh. As I mentioned, we'll be opening nationwide today. This movie is very powerful, a study of leadership. Kind of a reminder of our better angels and what kindness and goodness and what unity can do. And just because we disagree doesn't mean that that's the end of the world. You know, a disagreement is something to embrace because in that disagreement, in that conflict, it really convinces us of the right answers, I believe. But, you know, it takes some work, we have to allow for that to take place. Our discourse here in America has been rather rough and abrasive and irreverent. But I believe that, boy, I'll tell you, if we ever needed somebody like a Father Ted Hesburgh, it's now to be that bridge builder. And hopefully what you see yourself as is as a bridge builder, as somebody that can bring people of disparity together to be unified because, you know, as Patrick was sharing and as Father Hesburgh shares in the documentary, there's so much that we can agree on. There's so much more that we have in common than what we are supposedly in conflict over, if you're open to that concept. We're going to be visiting here with Mitchell Zuckoff. He's a best-selling author and journalist. And let me give you a little background on the story. Imagine the morning of September 11, 2001, He was on a book leave from the Boston Globe. His editor called. Two airplanes had just struck the Twin Towers of New York World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack. Both passenger jets had taken off from Boston's Logan Airport. Zuckoff rushed to the newsroom and wrote the lead story that appeared on page one of the Globe the very next day. Mitchell Zuckoff, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us, sir.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, you know, as we go back and remember, everybody remembers where they were glued to the TV afterwards and watching, you know, the burning of the initial tower and then watching the next plane go into it. And here you are, you know, on a book leave, and your editor says, hey, look, we need you back here in the office, right?
Exactly. No, you put it exactly right. And it was, you know, it was a responsibility, it was a privilege, and it was a stressor because we knew that this was an event that was both momentous and historic and global, but it was also a local story for us because we knew that there were, you know, very quickly it emerged that there would be our neighbors on these planes because once we realized that they had taken off from Logan, of course there would be people. I live in the just west of Boston, the town of Newton, and there were, you know, more than a dozen people from Newton on those planes. And and then we found out that one of my colleagues, his father, was on Flight 11 at the Globe. And so this was really personal work for us, and, right. and we took that responsibility seriously.
Well, and this was something that, you know, embraced all of who you were for months. I mean, you're writing about this because, as you just cited, there's so much more to this. The individual stories, you know, your hometown, how that was affected, you know, how do you manage that? I mean, because it's just like the grief keeps on, you know, coming in waves, does it not?
It absolutely did, and it was a test of every part of us, not just me, but the entire team at the Globe. Where, you know, one day I'm writing the news story, then I'm switching over and writing a long narrative story about six people affected by these events, and then I had been on the Globe Spotlight team, and so I returned to that role. And I worked with my Spotlight colleague, Mike Resendiz, on investigations into the terrorists. So you're pinballing through every kind of work you know how to do as a journalist. And at the same time, you're managing your own emotions, your fears for your own family or what's happening. And so it's a complicated role, but I don't for a second compare us to, you know, the people who are in the military who I have the utmost respect for. Mm-hmm. But it is a civilian version, I'd say, of that.
Where without a doubt.
You have to do it, Yeah. And you keep things in check.
Yeah, in much the same way that the first responders reacted on that day in New York, right?
Exactly.
In New York and at the Pentagon is just, hey, look at our fellow man is in peril, and they're running upstairs while everybody else is going in the other direction.
That's a perfect example. And again, I stand in awe of what they did, and I don't compare the mental or the emotional work with the physical risk that mm-hmm. those men and women took, and many of whom I've come to know over the years. But yes, in the grand scheme of things, it's our responsibility, and we all take on a different responsibility, and all you can do is execute it to the best of your ability.
Well, and you said it right. You know, everybody has a responsibility, and as a journalist, you know, to document history, to what your team did and what the paper, what the Boston Globe did to commit themselves to documenting history. I mean, this is the essence. This is the backbone of true professional journalism that I think has been challenged today.
I appreciate you saying that, Bill.
Wow.
You know, I got to tell you a quick story because it's not about me even. Mm-hmm. One of my team members is a woman named Tina Cassidy who was in New York. She had been a political reporter. She'd done many wonderful things. And she was at a point in her life she wanted to cover the fashion industry. So she was on September 11th, she was in New York covering Fashion Week. And she's there in a pencil skirt and stiletto heels.
Yeah.
And when the towers are hit, she literally runs toward them in, you know, dressed for a fashion show.
Wow.
And she got right to work. And next minute, she's on the phone to me calling, describing the scene.
Wow. I mean, there's just something about our inner instincts that take over. Mm-hmm. And as you say, there she is, you know, from a fashion show, thinking, you know, reporter one moment to reporting on the tragic event of 9/11 right there at the ground floor. And her value
to
there.
War reporting. It's the equivalent of war reporting.
You're right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And her value at that time to be able to do that. And as you say, instinctively, but this is the nature of our human condition, and we're grateful for people who have that instinct, whether it's responders, whether it's you, you know, realizing, hey, look, you got to get back to Boston. You've got to be there with the team, and you're going to be the lead guy on writing about 9/11.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
Amazing. So after years of processing, your reporting, you know, the impact that these individual stories had on you, Mitchell, of course, this culminates in this new book that is just being released, Fall and Rise, the Story of 9/11, right?
Exactly. After months of the work, I went back to finish the book I had been writing. I went on to other books. But the story of 9/11, you know, it doesn't leave you, and, mm-hmm. and that experience never leaves you. And I was talking about some of the work that I had done at a conference, and my agent happened to be there, and he said, you know, he came up to me afterward and said, you know, I've never really heard you talk like this. You're not done with 9/11. And it flipped a switch that was in me, and it was like I was almost denying it. I wasn't ready to go back there, and this was 4 or 5 years ago, and I realized, yes, this is a responsibility, again, what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the timing turned out to be fortuitous, because I realized very quickly that my students, I now teach at Boston University, my students had no independent memory of it. You know, you mentioned before, we all know where we were.
Right.
But they don't have that memory.
Mm-hmm.
And even for us, memory starts to fade.
Right.
And so this was kind of a sweet spot, you know, narratively for me,
right.
to be able to tell the story and bridge this gap between people who are living in a post 9/11 world.
Mitchell, I got to stop you for just a minute. Go to break. More for Mitchell after this.
Sponsored by Ameriglide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call Ameriglide and learn how an easy to install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
Bankers and elites have scoffed at the prospect of cyber or cryptocurrency for decades. In spite of this, cryptocurrency has continued to grow and become a viable alternative to traditional banking and money. Now, surprise, those same elites are realizing they got it wrong and, like the housing bust, are starting to invest big time. And guess what? You got it. Cryptocurrency. As they say, follow the money. Many other independent and forward-thinking investors have seen and are realizing the cryptocurrency investment advantage. And here at BillMartinezLife.com, we're making it easy for you to educate yourself and find out how cryptocurrency can become a part of your future and how a small investment could turn into big returns for you and your family. Go to BillMartinezLive.com, click on the Crypto Profit banner ad, and get all the information you need to take advantage of this money paradigm shift. Remember when you could buy Amazon, Facebook, and Google for dollars? That was another paradigm shift. So don't miss out. Go to BillMartinezLive.com, click on the Crypto Profit banner.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen
Come
here.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the groom?
Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Okay, so a watch is good, and some jewelry. Better grab some flowers, too.
Hey, what you doing?
Mother's Day, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm making lists, gotta plan a trip to the store, then need to save all the receipts in case she wants to return.
You know there's an easier way, right?
I'm guessing you do?
Yes, I'm gonna show you the easy, quick way to shop for Mom and save 30% at sunshine-pillows.com.
Ah, pillows.
Mm-hmm.
Great idea.
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows.
She always says she has stress.
And aches and pains, right? Look, they have hot and cold therapy products.
Ooh, it says we can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off.
Yep, just use this promo code MOM30.
You know, for a little brother, you're pretty smart.
Get something for every mom on your list and save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Now through Mother's Day only at Sunshine-Pillows.com. Use promo code MOM30. Sunshine-Pillows.com, your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
With you 14 minutes before the top of the hour, our guest, Mitchell Zuckoff, best-selling author and professor, his brand-new book, Fall and Rise, The Story of 9/11. Mitchell, as we were going to break, you were talking more about, the process here of, fall and rise, and that, even from a standpoint of it rising back into your spirit, that you said, look, I've got to write a story here that... based on all your meticulous reporting, is very comprehensive, and some have said it's the first comprehensive nonfiction narrative of that terrible day.
Exactly. That was the task that I had set for myself. And in part, and the reason I did it as a narrative, it's a character-driven story. Mm-hmm. All the facts are there, all the evidence is there, but it's told through the experiences of people who lived and some of whom died.
Mm-hmm.
It troubled me, Bill, that the best-known name, if you will, from 9/11, and it's tragic, is Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
And not Dave Tarantino, a hero in the Pentagon, or not Jay Jonas, one of the firefighters leading the men of Ladder 6 up
right.
the North Tower stairs. So I had to repair that.
Mm-hmm. Or even the story of Father Patrick, who's there that dies when a body comes
oh,
out.
Michael Judge, Father Judge.
Father Judge, I'm sorry, I said Father
sure.
Patrick, forgive me. Yes, Father Judge. Yeah, how many? I mean, thousands of stories. And not just from the individuals, but the families that were impacted and the family members. And as you say, that many of them today who are not there, but when we commemorate 9/11 there in New York or Shanksville or at the Pentagon, the children, the heritage, the legacy of these brave men and women, how it carries on, even though these kids who are represented today weren't there, but yet they, you realize and sense the impact that that has had on them.
Exactly. No, that's exactly right. And they should know that it's, you can teach something to children as, to make them pass a test. You can teach them the numbers of 9/11, obviously 9 and 11. You can teach them the numbers of the planes that were hijacked, 11, 175, 77, 93, four planes, 19 hijackers, nearly 3,000 dead. So you have all these numbers, and then that turns it into a math problem.
Right.
And it's a human story. It's
exactly.
a story about people who, many of whom behaved heroically, many of whom behaved with self-sacrifice, who was thinking of others even in their worst moments. And so those are the stories, to me, that stick with us. You know, we may forget the numbers, but we'll never forget the people.
And I guess maybe that's why you decided to use the stories and do this as a narrative. Huh?
It's exactly right, because the stories, that's how my father, Bill, my father was a high school history teacher in New York City when I was growing up. And when he would teach me about history, you know, I don't know if we ever talked about dates, but he talked about character and he talked about people, and he would explain to me, and he was a real specialist in the American Revolution, and he would tell me about, you know, what was it about Washington? And, you know, we weren't recounting battles. We were recounting a man's character, and
right.
and we would talk Jefferson, we would talk Madison, and you know, those are the stories that stayed with me, even if I didn't know the date of every, you know, element of the Continental Congress. And so in my work, I've tried to carry that on, just because I know, frankly, just in my own experience, I know it works.
Exactly. We could use your father today.
Oh, thank you. I agree. He's still around, believe it or not. He's almost 91.
Wow, bless his heart. Wow.
He was the first reader on this book.
Wow, that's so cool. Yeah, but we need your father's voice. We need, you know, voices like yours and others that follow that example. Because you're exactly right. I mean, this is where we're challenged today, if I might say, in the body politic, is that we've lost connection with character. And it's so emotional, and we're forgetting that, and look at, everybody's a person here. Everybody's got something to offer. The opportunity that we have is, can we give place for that offering and for that talent, you know, to where it can be expressed? And because when that happens, we're all beneficial, we're all beneficence of that gift. That somebody has, you know, my father used to tell me, Bill, you know, you don't know what puzzle piece is in that other person that matches up with yours, that is that perfect fit that completes you in a way. And that has driven me, and it has broadened my ability to, you know, have more friends and even may not be deep friends. Maybe they may be just be friends for the moment, because you look and you're always, you know, looking for that. Okay. Who's got that little piece or that little bit of offering that can add to my day?
Yeah,
and I can add to their day.
Message.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it brings to mind, frankly, one of the stories I tell, where two strangers in the South Tower, they worked a few stories apart, you know, never met. Maybe they had ridden the elevator together someday. They don't know.
Right.
When the plane hits the South Tower, the second plane in, Brian Clark is on his way down with a group from where he works, and they encounter two people who are going back up, because they say, you can't go down the stairs. There's fire down there. And they're arguing or discussing it on the stairwell. And Brian Clark hears what sounds like somebody trapped on the floor. So he breaks away from his group and leaves the stairwell and goes onto the floor, the 78th floor of the South Tower. And he rescues a guy named Stanley Premnath. And it's a remarkable experience, and they you know, sort of declare each other blood brothers, quite literally, as it's happening, because they're both bleeding from the hand.
Wow.
And Brian realizes, when they get back into the stairwell, Brian's group is gone. They've gone back upstairs, and they end up, you know, most of the people who go back upstairs don't get out.
They
One
perish,
does, but
right.
the rest
yeah.
don't. Mm-hmm. So Brian realizes this selfless act, and Brian's the most modest guy in the world, but this selflessness, this brotherhood that he engaged in with Stanley, ends up saving his life, too. He says he would have gone back upstairs, but instead, when he got back to the stairway with Stanley, he knew Stanley was hurt. He said, we have to try to go downstairs.
Wow.
And so that being open to the stranger, that being open to that, as you put it beautifully, the puzzle piece, it turns out to be mutually life-saving.
Wow. What a great story. And how many other stories like that on that day?
So many. So many. I wish I could have captured them all. I did my best.
Yeah, I bet. Well, and how do you omit some? I mean, as you're chronicling all these stories, what stories did you draw out of the Pentagon?
Oh, I love this story. Well, boy, which one do I pick? So I'm gonna pick for you Dave Tarantino.
Right.
This is a guy who's a Navy doctor. He could have been a hero if he had just gone to the Navy Pentagon courtyard in the center and just triaged patients. He would have been, you know, hailed for that.
Right.
But he took the Navy ethos that every sailor is a firefighter, and that day his ship was the Pentagon. So he keeps going closer and closer to the flames. He keeps driving deeper and deeper into the Pentagon to get close to where Flight 77 hit the building. And then he gets to the Navy Command Center, which was really the ground zero, if you will, of the Pentagon. It was just wiped out when the plane hit. And he crawls into this burning area of, it's more than a room, it's a whole area. And he gets deeper in through the flames. There's literally dripping from wires. There's dripping down and burning holes in his shirt and into his skin because there's a guy there who's trapped under a desk and a bookcase that had fallen on him. And Dave Tarantino, who had been a college rower at Stanford, realizes the only way this guy, Jerry Henson, a retired Navy aviator who had come back to work at the Pentagon, the only way Jerry's going to survive, because Jerry's near the end. He can barely breathe. He's trapped. Is that if in this burning room, Dave Tarantino crawls on his back and puts his feet up against the desk that's trapping Jerry Henson and is going to try to leg press it off Jerry Henson to save
him. Oh, wow. Wow.
And the fact to me that every American doesn't know the story of Dave Tarantino and Jerry Henson is not quite criminal, but close.
Right. Well, but this is the beauty of your book, In Fall and Rise and the Story of 9/11. This is just one of many of the stories of, you know, I want to say, you know, common, you know, because I think that for the most part, what is in our very instincts as a human being, you know, toward our fellow man, is that at times like this, our better angels are demonstrated. And this encourages us to realize that, hey, maybe we weren't there that day, but there may be another day down the line, and who's to know? Who's to know, but at that moment, that we would be not necessarily the hero, like you say with Dave Darren Tarantino. He didn't do this for heroism. He just did it out of his own humanity. Mm. And this is what I think undergirds who we are as individuals and, you know, gives me some hope anyway. I got to say that, Mitchell.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on the book. A book available at all the usual places, right?
Indeed.
And we're going to link it on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Fall and Rise, the story of 9/11. Mitchell Zuckoff, thank you, Mitchell. Thank you for all your hard work and for the book and the blessing that you are to everybody for writing it. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Good.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hunters and